0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Scotland train in Germany for the first time ahead of Euro 2024 as John Carver eases any injury concerns. Rangers sign AC Milan defender Clinton Insiala on a pre-contract deal, and David Marshall announces his retirement. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Stephen O'Donnell and Roger Hanna.
And it's just four more sleeps, Andrew, to the big one in Munich. Euro 2024 kicks off. We are going to be there. Well, I say we, Scotland are going to be there. Super Scoreboard's going to be there, and we've got a lucky mascot from Euro 2020. You're sitting there, I'm sitting here, Stevie O'Donnell's sitting there, and he's still got Jack Grealish in the back pocket of his trousers.
They didn't even make the flight this time, same as me.
You say four more sleeps as well. I wonder, some of the fans that are travelling over in the next couple of days, whether it'll be four sleeps for them. It might be four nights. I'm not sure it'll be four sleeps, will it, Stephen?
No, it certainly seems like it's going to be a great party for the fans. Germany's got whenever we qualified, it was just Germany. Just I think will do everything right, and it'll be a great setup for everyone. The fans more so than anyone else. The atmosphere will be electric, and the drink will be flowing, I'm sure.
And that's just in a Radio Clyde flight over.
This is when it starts to feel real as well, because we see the players in camp. They're over there. John McGinn is getting engrossed in the culture. Is that what you'd say with his dancing?
In Garmisch-Partenkirchen?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, well, listen, I think he's set the bar quite high, and if the Super Scoreboard team have anything about them, when they get their civic reception landing in Germany on Thursday, that's a job for Gordon DL.
Oh, definitely. You say he's the most likely out of the Super Scoreboard.
Oh, he'll have the lederhosen on before you can say Vorsprung durch Technik.
I'm not sure I even want to ask what that means.
Well, I would say it was great to see the boys kind of, they all looked as if they were pretty impressed and enjoying themselves and relaxed before what's going to be a massive couple of weeks. And John obviously epitomises that every time he puts on a T-shirt every morning, I think. Doesn't matter who he's with, Villa, Scotland, he's always the centre of it. And he's a great guy, great player.
Great video, great pictures. Can you imagine if he'd rolled an ankle?
Let's not think about that, because the injury situation is already stressing.
There's enough rolling ankles the last couple of days.
People out. We will get round to that. John Carver has spoken from the Scotland camp in Garmisch-Partenkirchen today, so we will hear from him. He's been speaking about the fact that Andy Robertson limped off in training. Lauren Shankland went off early as well, but he's easing those fears. He's been speaking about the week ahead and what to expect from Scotland. So any thoughts on that? 0141 951 1025. We haven't really heard from you since that game against Finland on Friday night, so maybe some reaction to that game that you've still got left over. Give us a call on the same number, 0141 951 1025. Just looking back to that, because we haven't spoken to either of you since the game on Friday night, what did we learn from that, Roger?
We learned that these games are pretty dull, pretty meaningless. I think Steve Clarke would be content to get through the evening with no more injuries. If you look at some of the results around Europe, you know, Germany sort of fell over the finishing line against Greece. England lost at home to Iceland. And I think Stephen's probably better placed than me to talk about this, given, you know, he played against the Dutch and it was at Luxembourg prior to the last tournament. There must be a note of caution in everything the players do, because they've seen Dykes get injured in training and get out the squad. Ben Doak, injured, out the squad. Each of those players that played against the Finns on Friday night didn't want to be the next on that injury list. So there's bound to be just an iota of caution in there, and it probably reflects in the game and the way it was played.
I think Steve Clarke said it himself after the game that maybe Lyndon Dyke's injury would have spooked a few of the players, and that might have changed their mindset maybe a wee bit just in the game, whether it's subconsciously or not. Do you think they'll be a bit more free over there in camp, or the fact that Andy Robertson was seen limping off today and, you know, potentially other issues that they'll still might be a bit cagey?
Look, I think there'd be maybe a couple of boys that could have the luxury of taking it easy if they really wanted to, but just now they'll just be focused on trying to get in that starting 11. I think what you have seen is, I don't think the manager's got his starting 11 quite nailed on. I think there's a few places. I think the chunk of the team that started the other night will be the team that starts, and I think you're spot on. I think I was a wee bit disappointed with the atmosphere. I thought, I played against Peru, that was my debut, and they were going to the World Cup. And obviously when we went to to the Euros last time, the fans wasn't, it was, we were over in Luxembourg and it just wasn't maybe this quite a carnival atmosphere that was back home when you were kind of, when we arrived and going to the games and stuff. And when we played Peru, that was one of the most amazing atmospheres ever. The full country just seems as if they were all out in the streets looking forward to it. And I was at the game and I just felt the game itself wasn't the best game, but I thought the fans would have been just like delighted. Like, this is the last send off. We're all here, the 50,000 of us cheering them on. It didn't really get going in the stands and it didn't really get going in the pitch either. But look, 100%, the massive positives. You've got Grant Hanley getting minutes. I get the impression with him playing both games, he's maybe hoping to start him against Germany, so that's important. Kieran Tierney was playing a lot of minutes. So lots of real positives, and then no injuries until training this morning.
The fact that atmosphere maybe wasn't what Stephen was expecting it to be, what would you put that down to, Roger? Are you able to put your finger on it?
Listen, it's a mix of things. For a June evening at Hampden, it was perishing cold. The weather wasn't very good. It doesn't put you in a party atmosphere. The first half was a little bit flat, wasn't it? And, you know, Scotland did get ahead with those couple of goals early in the second half, and then there were a lot of changes, and that affects the flow of the game, and Finland get back into it. It wasn't quite the carnival atmosphere in any aspect that maybe Stephen and, you know, myself and others thought it might have been. But I think if you're Steve Clark, these are games, the Gibraltar game as well on the Monday night, they're just games you want to get out of the way. You want to get to Germany. Even those great videos of John McGinn last night, you want to get all that nonsense out the way.
Just focus.
Yeah, and you want to focus. And no one would have been happier getting down onto that training ground this morning than Steve Clark.
I'd say even a point, probably the open training session probably isn't ideal either. He'd probably, like, I don't want him to see what I'm up to. Don't want him to see the panic that's now created because Andy walks off. Do you know, that should all be in-house and nobody knows. But I think now really they can get their head down and start to work.
And the Germans at their open training session, 3,000 fans this afternoon. So you think there's pressure in Scotland, driving the host nation?
Absolutely. 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from you. Stephen is in Rutherglen. How are you tonight, Stephen?
Oh, a wee bit sore.
Sore?
I was on my way to the game doing Prospect Hill Road to meet my grandnephew and my nephew. They got me a ticket for the game. I was meeting them at Asda and then we were walking across in a trip to the curb and I ended up my femur of my right leg get smashed.
Oh dear.
As if Steve Clark's not getting enough injuries.
I know.
It's extending to the fans now.
You know, in the park, but it's all right, backs were getting hammered with.
Oh dear, will you be fit for the last game in the group?
I hope so. Well, I said to my son, I said, I'm going to see the Scotland women playing at Hampden in the 16th. He says, Dad, you'll have to get right down the front. You'll have to get down to the handicap section.
Oh, dear. Well, what about that? Missing the game? Because we've been talking about injury problems the whole time today. Sitting there around lunchtime, all of a sudden, the news is coming out that Andy Robertson's limped off.
Lauren Shankland
as well. There was, you know, not full training sessions, I think, for Stuart Armstrong and Kenny McLean as well, as they worked their way back from injuries. And now Stephen as well. What's going on?
Honestly, this Euro 2024, it's a curse. Injury curse. Even Ian Maxwell's a doubt, isn't he?
Oh, exactly.
After his eye operation.
Stephen, despite your...
Didn't see that one coming.
Stephen, despite your injury, are you feeling confident? Going into Germany, are you looking forward to it? Excited?
I'm excited by it because there's going to be more fans outside the park for us than what there is inside the park.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Yep.
And it will be, but an atmosphere that Scotland never got that the last time they qualified. They never go. There was no fans there to push them on, and there was that. It looked like a full house there.
Yeah, Stephen O'Donnell's obviously here in the studio at the last Euros. Did that take something away from it?
And look, it definitely did. And I think the boys that will have experienced both will be best placed to say the real differences. But the atmosphere is still amazing at Hampden and Wembley. And what I will say is that even though there won't be that many fans in the stadiums, because it'll be mainly Germans, I'd assume, in the first game, but the players will be getting the atmosphere fed from all the different kind of fan zones and whatnot, because when it was Wembley in COVID, the morning of the game, down at breakfast, and it was different boys were getting pings on their phone, all these videos just looked like carnage. It did not look like COVID, but it starts to kind of help, you don't need help, especially for the Euros, but kind of builds up the occasion, and it was certainly for the Wembley one, we got a real feel for that with all the fans that had made their way down to England, and it'll be no different in Germany. It's going to be amazing. The players will be well aware of it, and hopefully it gives us maybe an extra wee percent that can help do one over the Germans.
Yeah, because this is something that will be brand new to a whole generation of Scotland fan. The last Euros wasn't a traditional one. Been able to go over, follow the team to a country where you can go from city to city. Some people will have tickets, a lot of people won't, but you'll have the big fan zones. Just having that traditional tournament feel will be great for the supporters.
Even the fans who were at the games last time around 3 years ago, you know, it doesn't feel the same. You're in this country, you know, you're either in Glasgow or in London. There's just something a bit different about travelling away, overseas, you know, cities, a country you've maybe never been to before. You can, as you say, skip about from Munich to Cologne to Stuttgart. It is different. It is exciting. I know the Super Scoreboard team are excited to go. Gordon Dale says it's a bit light years different from the last Euros. So, listen, it'll be a fantastic trip for everyone.
We'll get on to that later on, because it is a very good photo, that one. But we'll go back to that. Stephen, looking at the three group games, where does your optimism come? Do you feel that Scotland are capable of giving all three teams a good go?
When I was growing up, and when we were in the World Cup many, many years ago, in the 70s and 80s, we get beat by all the small teams. Or we couldn't get a decent result with the small teams. And when we played the big teams, when we played the Netherlands, we beat them 3-2, but if we'd have beat them 3-1, we'd have been through. Hello?
That was right. World Cup 78, that was an 8 Archie Gemmell's goal. Dalglish got a couple, but we were 3-1 up for a little spell. This is long before Andrew and Stephen's day. For a little spell, we were always almost there. Even worse than that, I remember Euro 96, Stephen, when Alan McCoy scored against the Swiss at Villa Park. We were 1-0 up. We needed a 5-goal swing on the night, but England were 4-0 up against the Dutch at Wembley. We were through until Patrick Kluivert got the scrappiest of goals past David Seaman, and that knocked us out that night as well. So we've been really close to history in the past. I'd love us to get over the finishing line this time.
Well, thank you to Stephen. Try and not injure yourself celebrating any Scotland goals, hopefully, over the next few weeks. 01419511025. Let's stick with the phones. Ross is in Pollock. Ross, how are you feeling about the week ahead, the next couple of weeks ahead?
Hi, Andrew. Roger and Stephen, hope you're both guys all well.
You too.
Just one quick point, Stephen. Were you ever called up in this Scotland squad in terms of when Patterson and that were injured? Did you ever get a shout to come in?
No.
See, I think that's Steve Clark's first problem, Stephen. I would have had you right in that Scotland squad.
Thanks, Ross. I appreciate that.
In terms of, I'll say that,
no, it's not Ross McCrory falling, is it? No.
In terms of this, the group we're going to on Friday, I generally don't have any fears about Germany. I don't think Germany have looked that good in qualification. And I know people will say, well, it's in Germany and they are the hosts and stuff and the pressure's on them. But for me, I think Scotland can go at it all guns blazing Friday, and I fully expect Scotland to get something out of the game. I'm not saying I'm going to go and beat Germany, but even if we got a point with it, I think that would be a tremendous result, and I don't see why we can't take points off Switzerland and Hungary also.
A point would be a tremendous result. I'm not sure many people are expecting it. Ross says he's expecting that, you know, it could well be possible, but just looking at the, you know, people talk about pressure and Scotland going into the tournament and the pressure that they'll be under, just how big will the pressure be on Germany opening game in Munich? They'll have a lot, you know, riding on it.
It will be huge. Already, I mean, there's questions been asked of Julian Nagelsmann, some of his selections. There seems to be criticism that he's fast-tracked Manuel Neuer straight back in as the goalkeeper. You know, there was a couple of injury doubts there. Nicholas Fulkrug, the Borussia Dortmund centre forward, sent an injury doubt, albeit I think he'll be okay for Friday. They're a strange team, the Germans, because they haven't played a qualify, you know, a competitive tie for some time, because their host, they didn't need to qualify. They've had mixed results in friendlies. You sort of struggled to win at home to Greece the other night. So they can be a bit hot and cold. They've got some wonderful players. I like Florian Wirtz, who was the star of the Leverkusen double in Germany. We've got Jamal Musiala, who's, you know, playing up there with Harry Kane for Bayern Munich this season. Ilkay Gundogan still captains the team for the middle of the park. Antonio Rudiger just won a Champions League with Real Madrid, so they're not a desperately poor team, but I wouldn't say they're, you know, one of the great German teams of all time. So it's not impossible for us to get a result on Friday, and what a tonic it would be at the start of the campaign.
Look, I don't want to calm us down a wee bit, but they are 16th, which would suggest you're right that they aren't as good a team as maybe previous German sides. But the new man, he's only been in the job not that long, and I've got a squad list right here, and the quality they've got everywhere. They've got Madrid, Leverkusen, Bayern, Leipzig. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't drop.
Yeah.
And Toni Kroos himself has 108 caps. It's the experience, the players that are used to that pressure now. So do I think the pressure will affect them negatively? No. But are they maybe as daunting a task as some of the other big ones? No. But I definitely think the Germans are heavy favourites. I think we're capable of something, but I just want to, being Mr. Negative, I know we're not allowed to be, is a low score, because it keeps you in the kind of group I would take. But I do think we're capable of getting a draw.
No negative Normans allowed here.
When you look at, you know, some of the teams that the Scotland players play for, some of the big matches they've played in, a lot of this team, the majority of this team, do have big game experience. So it's not, there have been previous Scotland squads where you haven't had, you know, quite a few players or a core of players that have played at the top level and are regularly playing against world-class players, but this squad is different, isn't it?
It's a good point. And listen, Stephen will know better than me, but I get the impression the character of a lot of the players in the Scotland squad won't allow them to be overawed by big-name Germans or, you know, the big occasion. Andy Robertson, Scott McTominay, Kieran Tierney, Callum McGregor don't strike you as guys who got overawed very easily. The guy who scored the winner for Germany the other night, Pascal Gross, a teammate of Billy Gilmour's at Brighton, so, I mean, that won't overawe Billy Gilmour at all. So I think we've actually got a group of players there who will go into the fixture not too bothered by the fact that it's Germany and Munich in the first game of the Euros. They will go in there believing that they're good enough as a team to get a result. And they're backed by, you know, wins against Spain, wins away to Norway, wins not that long ago against the Danes who were in the last Euros semi-final. So know they can do it. There you go.
Ross, when you look at Friday night's game, is there anything in particular that you feel Steve Clarke needs to do differently, needs to do the same to make sure that Scotland can get the results you're talking about?
I think, obviously, I know Steve Clarke tends to try and play this sort of kind of defensively way in terms of when it's against the bigger teams. But I think when you take the Spain game in isolation, we basically took the game to Spain at Hampden and we beat them 2-0. So I think for us on Friday, I think Steve Clarke should just go and approach it and go and have a go at Germany. And if Germany came out and beat us 3 or 4-0, people are expecting that anyway. But if we have a go, that's the best chance of us getting anything. But I can generally see us on Friday getting a one each draw in the first game. And then I can see us potentially beating the other two, so finishing with 7 points.
How much is there a balance to strike there? Because Ross is saying, just go for it. And if you lose 3 or 4-0, then you know what, people are expecting it. But the way that this Euros is set up, 16 of the 24 teams get through. You know, most of the third place teams, the majority of the third place teams get through. A lot of it could come down to goal difference. So there is a balance to strike there, isn't it, in terms of wanting to win the game and get something from it, but not wanting to open up in case you concede too many and that could see you out later down the line.
I touched on it before about the goal difference could be crucial. And also, I just don't think Steve Clarke's never been the manager to go gung-ho. And the time to do it certainly isn't against the Germans in Munich. So, sadly, Ross, I don't see that being the case. You might be right that would maybe be the best approach. I'm not sure myself. But, look, I think however the manager sets up, as Roger said, there's quality in our squad. There's players that all we European experience, most of them with European experience and the Euros experience. So that's a far better position where we were this time three years ago. So again, lots of reason to be optimistic, but the draw and two wins is maybe a wee bit optimistic. But look, I would bite your hand off for it right now.
Sign up for it right now.
Thank you to Ross. Plenty more of your calls to come. 01419511025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Stephen O'Donnell here to take your calls on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 01419511025. Seeing plenty of supporters making their way out to Germany in weird and wonderful ways at the moment. And Clyde One Super Scoreboard is going to be live in Germany as well. Thanks to UK Debt Expert, there are over 100,000, could be 150,000 enemy fans you're expecting, Roger, over in Germany.
An awful lot.
An awful lot. That's a good number to put on it, yeah. I would say. Yes, they will be over there heading out for the tournament. They've actually helped more than double that. UK Expert have helped over 250,000 people deal with debt, 45,000 of those right here in Scotland. So if you're struggling with debt you can't control, talk to UK Debt Expert. There is a solution for you. Check out ukdebtexpert.co.uk. Shall we hear a bit from the Scotland camp? Because today was the first time they did press over in Germany. John Carver was the man speaking today, and he was giving an injury update because it was an open training session, so everyone could see what was going on, and Andy Robertson limped off. But John Carver is saying that there is nothing to worry about.
Yeah, it was. He's fine. I've just spoke to him there. It was a precaution, really. He just caught the ball, just caught his ankle. But he'll train tomorrow. He'll be fine. And obviously, at this stage, we're going to be extra cautious. So he's okay. He's fine, and looking forward to joining in tomorrow. It's never nice, is it? And especially with the luck we've had lately. So as soon as training was finished, I popped across, had a chat with him, and he's in good form, so he's fine.
The one thing that was a bit concerning for me anyway is that I saw on, I think it was Sky Sports News today, that Aidan McElduff, yeah, who is the kit assistant at the SFA, isn't he, was having to take part in drills, doing a bit of crossing, well, doing a bit of shape, because they were out of options.
Well, that was right, because I mean, you take the three goalies out, leaves you 23 outfield players, doesn't it? Robertson was off, Lon Shanklin was off. I think by that stage, Kenny McLean and Stuart Armstrong had left the sort of practice as well. Just that was part of their sort of recovery regimes, if you like. So they were a body short. And fair play to him, he stepped up. They're clearly, they've got a bit about him still. Yeah.
I'd have happily went over and been the person that stepped in if they wanted. I'll be the 27th man. But no, look, that's not uncommon. I think it's happened before with staff kind of just filling a job, putting a jersey on and being in a position to kind of just make it, say, 11v11 or whatever you're trying to achieve. As well as goalies normally come out field as well sometimes. Sometimes they're better than the players. I think Liam Kelly's passing in the centre mid's better than mine. But
open training session as well. There would have been all the cameras there. He's definitely on it. A few of the camera operators to get some Instagram content of him training alongside the Scotland team.
I seen, I think it was Luke Shanley moving out the way to go have a close up of him. I was like, he's done well here.
01419511025. Let's hear that further injury update, shall we, from John Carver, including Lauren Shankland, who he starts with.
Yeah, he's fine. I've just spoke to him there. It was a precaution, really. He just caught the... Yeah, he had a little bit of a niggle from the other night, and he's in that process. Obviously, he played quite a bit game time in the two games that we've played, so we're just protecting him as well. And everybody's got their own programme coming back, as you well know, so he's fine. Yeah, everybody's good.
Kenny McLean?
Yeah, Kenny had the little issue before the game the other night, but again, he'll probably train again tomorrow with us, so... He's fine. We're just, like I say, being a little extra cautious.
And Stuart Armstrong as well. Is he close to being
in?
Yeah,
he'll be in with the group full time tomorrow. So that's good news as well.
How often this week do you think are we going to have heart and mouth moments?
Oh, yes. Oh, very much so. I mean, when Liam Cooper limped off, I think, against Gibraltar last Monday night, the manager said he nearly himself at the time, you know, the fear of losing another player. So there will be more heart and mouth moments in the next few days. And I think Steve Clark and John Carver are treating it correctly. They're not going hell for leather at these training sessions. They don't need to. You're at a time in the season where, Stephen will tell you, the players can't really top up fitness anymore. Yeah. they're at their optimum, and it's just a case of ticking over, really, doing more tactical work, doing more set-piece work with Austin McPhee, and just getting yourself ready for the big night on Friday.
Just try and keep them simmering. That's kind of the aim. Keep them all fit, all available. This time last tournament, we lost Kieran Tierney, which is obviously somebody you don't want to lose, and you're kind of just on eggshells to a point. It's up to the players to go out and train and put everything on the pitch, but it's up to the manager to kind of rein it in and keep them under control and not have too much intensity, because the intensity will come because people will be trying to show they can play and they're available to play. And you just need to make sure you're reining them in. And that's what the manager, probably things he's learned from previous tournaments, previous camps. The only thing I think he'll be a wee bit with injuries, obviously he wanted to keep as many bodies as he knew in the squad, because you're away for a while, you're away for 2 weeks, maybe more. You want to make sure the group, you know the personalities, you know what's going on, and in a good moment, you know what's going on in a bad moment, because you've got that experience with the squad.
And sometimes it's harder to keep the, you know, to keep the 15 who aren't playing, to keep them ticking over rather than the 11, because you more or less know the team, you would think. You know, as Stephen said, you'll know 9 or 10 of them for certainty. You probably get a good idea who the other ones are. So for more than half the squad, they're not going to be involved in this first game against Germany, certainly not from the start. And it must be difficult just keeping spirits up and, you know, making sure they're all good teammates, as it used to be described by a previous Scotland manager.
Yeah, that will have been a big part of Steve Clark's thinking, wouldn't it? Because he is big on the personality of players and what they're like off the pitch and what they are like around camp. And, you know, he's very loyal to the players that he feels are not only, you know, very good servants for him on the pitch, but off the pitch as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that's club management. We're international management, club management probably similar, is that the people off the pitch can probably have as big, if not more, of an impact than the players on it. Because if you get beat and they're poisonous round about the place, just makes the camp low, makes the team very difficult to keep the same selection if you think it's the same, even if you've been defeated, and then trying to keep those players switched on and not turning on a manager. Because if all you hear is, oh, I should be playing, this is rubbish, why did we play a back four, a back five, whatever they are, if that's all you're hearing and it filters around the full squad, before you know it, everybody's going, no, that was crap.
Yeah.
And it's just, sorry for the language, but it's not, that's just, it becomes a very long camp, whether it's 10 days, and obviously this is a far longer camp than normal ones.
You did get your mate to phone in earlier on and say that you should have been in the squad though, so not everyone's doing it on the radio though, are they? 0141 951 1025. Mark is in Maryhill. Mark, how are you tonight?
Good evening, gentlemen, thank you, and yourselves?
Hi Mark.
All good.
Lovely. Listen, first and foremost, I need to ask, because you never know, has anybody got a spare ticket? you had to ask, got it. My point is, I know there's a lot of injuries, and it doesn't make good that these guys have been playing and trying hard to get to where they are. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't care who walks onto that park on Friday night, as long as they walk on the park with pride and passion for Scotland and want to do their best, that's all I want. I'm looking forward to it already. I've got a delivery coming every day with flags, banners, flares. So my tiny little bit of paradise will be partying on Friday night.
Just no tickets coming in that delivery.
Well, you never know. I've asked. Somebody might send me one.
I like it. The setup sounds good. Mark's going to be having a nice garden party. I'll tell you what, the weather's probably going to be better in Mark's garden than it is in Garmisch-Partenkirchen at the moment. It's been torrential rain and thunderstorms going on.
My Scottish Sun colleagues who are out there haven't stopped moaning for 3 days about the weather over there.
What a shame for them to be spending time at a major tournament. Heart goes out to them.
They're not getting any sympathy for me, let me tell you. And listen, Mark, now 4 days out from the first game, everyone's really excited. You are always better being in the tournament than sitting at home. You know, we could have been, if we'd lost out to Norway or Georgia in the qualifiers, you know, we'd be sitting here looking at it saying, oh, Germany v Norway, I'll maybe watch that. But now the whole nation is excited by it. We're far better being there. Stephen and his teammates set the bar 3 years ago when we qualified for the first time in a generation. And now it's back to back. Euros would love to get to the next World Cup. Long time since we've been at that tournament. And it engages an entire new generation with the national team. Stephen's spoken about it before, rolling up at Hampden the last time for the Czech game, seeing all the kids in Scotland kits. You know, we hadn't seen that for 20, 25 years. It's fantastic that we're there. But what Steve Clarke will say to you tonight is, being there alone isn't good enough. Let's go and make an impact. Let's go and make history.
Mark was talking about, you know, wanting the players to go out there and, you know, show their passion and show their fight. That's something that the Scotland squad has in abundance, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think that's... Even any Scotland squad, when if they weren't successful or not, when you go and represent your country, if you're walking out on that pitch, you want to be there. You've chose to be there because you can always knock it back, and they will give everything for the jersey and for their country. I don't see anything other than 26 bodies desperate to try and do that if anything might be injuring each other in training, trying to get on that pitch. But I think the excitement will be kicking off in the camp. Boys will be itching to go out and hopefully get a real positive start to the tournament, which is what we're all hoping for. And let's fingers crossed that happens.
Mark, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, Scotland, the opportunity to create history and get out the group. Is that something you think is possible for this squad and the way the group looks?
I'll be honest with you, I don't want to think about that, because my answer is frighteningly yes. I do believe we can qualify top of this league. Honestly believe we've got the players. We've definitely got the squad.
To finish above Germany, you think so, Mark? Yeah.
I don't want to say it, but yeah, you know what I mean. I just don't want to jinx it. I'm very excited for it. It's the opening game of a World Cup. We're playing the hosts. We're Minnow Scotland. This is Friday night's kind of, for me, it's like a World Cup final. The whole world of football supporters are going to be watching this. Unlike a final, some might not watch it because of who's playing or who's not playing or whatever. Most of the football world will be watching this on Friday night, and we have a half-decent squad. So, yeah, if not top, definitely second. I reckon if the players aren't thinking a second, then they're doing ourselves an injustice, because we've got a couple of world-class players of our own. I've heard the panel rhyming off a few names from the teams we're going to be facing, but like they also said, they won't be fazed by it because who they are and who they're playing with at their home club. So definitely, for the first time in a long, long time, I'm 48 years old, I definitely believe we can get through the group stages, and then after that, we've got the talent. So bring it on, party night, Friday night.
I love this positivity. This show is oozing positivity tonight, Andrew. Can you imagine what it's going to be like by the time you go over there in the middle of the week? How excited, how frantic the Tartan Army are going to be.
See, I think it's always a roller coaster, isn't it? Because there are people are at different points at different part of the week. Some people are uber optimistic, and then it drops, and then other people are the other way about, where they're not so confident, and then all of a sudden they're excited about it and they're feeling optimistic. But we seem to be at a good point at the moment.
Yeah, no, look at... Mark, you kind of said we're a half-decent squad. I would like to think we're better than a half-decent squad if you're expecting us to get to finish top. But no, look, I think you're spot on with most of what you're saying. I think we've got a real good squad. We've got a right good chance of doing well in this tournament. But there's only three games, and you don't turn up in one. It starts to you're chasing your tail. And that's where it's important that we go into the game really... realistic, to the point it's going to be tough. All three of these games, Mark, are going to be very hard games. All three of them are ranked above us, and they're ranked above us for a reason, because their squad has been more consistent than ours. Now, do I think for a minute we are good enough to beat all of them? Yes, 100%, because we've done it. We've rhymed off Denmark, competing against England, Spain at Hampden not so long ago, Norway. We've got the capabilities to beat every team, but let's not get too carried away. We want to qualify for the group. If you gave me third place, I'll bite your hand off it if it gets us through. If you give us first with getting through above the Germans, I think that would be a ridiculously good tournament, and I think the gaffer might be getting knighted soon.
Don't worry, Mark. Well, Super Scoreboard promises to balance all of this positivity and optimism later in the week by bringing on Hugh Keevans.
Yes.
Well, thank you to Mark. Maybe you want to keep that positivity going, give us a call, 01419511025, or maybe you want to be the person to balance it out as well. You can give us a call on the same number. But let me tell you about this first. Clyde One. Yeah, our first Make Me a Winner call was answered with hello, which means it is a rollover. But we could make you the winner of £100,000 tomorrow when we make another call. But you need to be in the draw. Text yes to 61025. Text are £2 plus your standard network rate. Enter at clyde1.com. Online entries are £2 or call 0330 880 4523. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. Entries since we opened the lines on Monday morning at 6am have rolled over. All the rules for this network competition are online. If you get a call from us after 3pm tomorrow, answer within five rings. Say make me a winner. Remember, say make me a winner straight away to win £100,000 that will be paid into your bank account straight after the call. So text yes to 61025 for your chance to win.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Stephen O'Donnell here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. And you can join us as well by ringing 0141 951 1025. We've had plenty of optimism, I think, on the phones so far about Scotland. So if you want to keep that coming, 0141 951 1025. Of course, if there's any domestic matters you want to chat about as well, Rangers have completed their third signing of the window, a pre-contract agreement for Clinton Insiala from AC Milan. So Rangers fans, maybe you've got some thoughts about that. Give us a call on the same number or a tweet at Clyde SSB. Let's go back to the phones. Davey is in Paisley. What's on your mind tonight, Davey?
Evening, guys.
Hi, Davey. Evening.
A couple of points. One's about Scotland, obviously, one's about Celtic in the coming season. The first one, obviously, regarding Scotland, I'm quite optimistic about it without going overboard. You know, with limitations. But there's a lot of pressure. I think there's pressure about the Scotland fans. Like, I was out with some of the lads yesterday and I was just talking about the games, and a couple of the boys are thinking, we're not going to get a goal, we're not going to get a point. I don't know where this is coming from. We don't normally tend to turn up for friendlies, but in the bigger games, I think, with especially this campaign, we've turned up. And I'm looking forward to it, to be honest.
That's quite an amazing stat, the difference in percentage wins between our competitive games of late and our friendlies of late. I don't think we've won a home friendly for 8 years, is it, since Gordon Strachan was in charge? Game again, trying to think who it was. The Denmark game, maybe? Can't quite remember. A 1-0 win. So it's terrible. We just can't seem to get up for friendlies at home at all. And yet qualifying, you know, we started last qualifying campaign with five straight victories, including the win at home to Spain, the win against Haaland and Odegaard, Norway over in Oslo. It's quite remarkable. So hopefully that carries on into these three Group A games at the finals and carries on into the history books by getting us into the last 16. There is a possibility. Germany will be very, very difficult on Friday night. But the Hungarians and the Swiss don't terrify you.
Is there, when you're a Scotland player and you're going into a game, is there a significant difference? Can you notice it when you're going into a competitive game versus a friendly or not really? Does the preparation or the build-up in the final few moments or being on the pitch, does it just feel the same because you're representing your country?
For me, it never really did, but I was coming from a very different setup to a lot of boys, and kind of just every cap you were kind of, is it my last one? You were just itching to try and do well and leave everything out there. There is an element of that. Some of these boys play ridiculous amounts of games, so they need to be managed. It's not a choice of their own. They get dictated to because their club's assets and the country don't want to be left fit in the bill for them as such. So it is a real fine balance. Another thing that just adds to an international kind of manager's dilemmas and problems. But again, over the spell, a lot of the friendly, certainly ones I was involved in at the start, were against top opposition. So when you're playing the top opposition in friendlies quite a lot, I know recently, obviously, Finland and then Northern Ireland, you would like to think we maybe should have been beating them. But I played against Portugal, played against, I'm pretty sure I played against maybe Belgium in a friendly as well. Like, they were top 10 teams, and it's very difficult to, even if you're hoping they're off it in a friendly, I think Portugal played like their B team, and they were incredible. I think there was a, maybe Bernardo Silva played, I think, possibly, who was not as well known at the time. But just it's hard to see. You just need to try and always think you can't look too much into the kind of the big picture. Look at the games individually and what went wrong in them, or was there lots of changes at points? There's lots of players get called off, and it's try to just take everything on its merits. And I said I was disappointed with the Finland result because I just thought all round we could have been better as a supporters and as a performance. but we're building up to a tournament. So then you go, well, we don't want any injuries. So there's always spinning plates at international level, and as I said, the competitive ones are the more important ones.
Despite the fact that it might not look good in terms of results on paper sometimes, or runs on paper sometimes, when you've got these competitive fixtures against, or sorry, friendlies against, you know, bigger teams, we saw it last year with the likes of France, the likes of England, can those games, even if the result doesn't go your way, do the players feel the benefits of those matches?
Yeah, no, I think, again, if you've got players that are maybe needing some game time, especially for if there'd been an injury and they're coming into the squad, you know they're going to be in your squad. It's important we get to see them out there and get maybe 60, 90 minutes. It's controlled. Because it's a friendly, there's less pressure to... You can tell them before the game, look, I'm taking you off at 45 or what, and it's a calm environment. Whereas you come off in a competitive match, there can be a bit of jip. Oh, well, I want to stay on. But no, there's lots to take from international friendlies. And I think getting boys together, the team together, and maybe trying things out. I think the manager touched on that against Gibraltar. He looked at the back four. He was up in the stand trying to piece together if he maybe thinks the team's capable of playing a four in this tournament, and seeing wee tweaks. So again, you trust the process, you trust the people in charge. Well, I certainly trust the people in charge, and you just kind of go with it.
Friendlies are rubbish. One of the best things that ever happened was the advent of the Nations League to cut out half a dozen meaningless friendlies. You know, there's been Scotland managers in the past didn't want to take friendlies because they might lose, and it negatively affects your world ranking, you know, the FIFA world rankings. They were happier to have just a camp, a get-together of the players. That showed you how much they rated international friendlies. I don't like them. You go along to them, I'm not playing, you know, just covering the game. It doesn't have the same feel as a competitive game. So it must be the same for the players not to quite have that same feel. So the more competitive games we can play, the better.
Davey, is it those games that Roger mentioned earlier on, the result against Spain, the win against Norway away from home as well, is it those ones that you look back to when you're thinking how this tournament's going to go, how Scotland are going to fare in their group, that those are the games you look to and think, well, you know, this squad, this manager has achieved those things in recent times, they're capable of going and putting in similar performances in the next couple of weeks?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think we've got anything to fear. Germany game will take care of itself. I'm not expecting to do a lot against Germany, but I think we've got a chance against Hungary and Switzerland. See, before I go into my point about Celtic, can I just to tell you a wee story? One of my friends was going over on Wednesday in his camper van with his wife and his boys about 30. He's shown his pictures for the last time he was in Germany in 74, which was 50 years ago. He sat when he's 18 with six or seven of his friends. So he's got a picture on his T-shirt with him and his friends from 50 years ago, last time in Germany.
Brilliant. See some of the memories that people create back then and will go on to create in the next few weeks as well as supporters. That's what these tournaments are all about.
The things. It's memories for a lifetime, you know. Yeah. That guy went over 50 years ago. He's now gone with his wife and son this time. New memories. I know guys from Ayrshire who bought a double-decker bus in 1982 and drove it to Spain. Drove it from Maybole to Malaga. Imagine that. And I think the TV documentaries done about them in, you know, years to come.
How do you even go about buying a double-decker bus?
It's Maybole. You can buy anything if you know the right people. You know, it was a fantastic memory for those guys. And you hear these stories every tournament. That was the biggest shame for the fans between 1998 and 2021 when Stephen's squad went there. That they didn't have these stories to tell. You know, there will be guys, you hear the stories every time there's a tournament, guys who went in 74, 78, 82, 86, went to Italia 90, went to those 2 Euros during the 90s, went to France 98 to see Scotland, the last time they played in the opening game of a major tournament, that game against Brazil in the Stade de France. These are things that people will never forget. They'll be going with their sons, with their husbands, with their wives, with their daughters. It's fantastic that Scotland are back there. One of the callers said earlier on, there'll be a lot more Scotland fans outside the stadium than inside with tickets. Of course there will, but it's great.
Just quickly, Davey, what was your point on Celtic?
So it's good luck to Margaret and Murray Bailey and their son going over to Germany. So they're going to the Celtic one. I've seen an article there about Mikey Johnson, maybe West Bromley coming back in from. And my point is, if they do get any money, they've got to break the bank and get the boy Eder. And another name I'd mentioned that shouldn't be signed for in particular is that it'll be a free transfer, it'll be Scott McKenna as a centre back to play with Carter Vickers.
Yeah, just, I mean, Ida is one that I think a lot of Celtic fans are interested in. There were some quotes from him, it was earlier on today, yesterday, of him. It was very much of a player who didn't know his situation, didn't want to upset anyone, kind of came across as. I don't really know what's happening, but
I'd be surprised if he wasn't a Celtic player on a permanent deal by the start of next season. He was a Brendan Rodgers signing in January. He did well. He scored goals. He scored against Rangers at Ibrox. And he scored the winning goal in an Old Firm Scottish Cup final in the last minute to secure a double. Celtic will sign him.
Scott McKenna for Celtic.
He also mentioned about Mikey Johnson. I think what needs to happen there is there need to be two separate things. Either needs to be, Brendan Rodgers wants him, he gets him. That's how it should be. He's come in, he's done well. He was a handful playing against him. Mikey Johnston, on the other hand, again, Rodgers is the person that needs to dictate these things, because if he's got control by all accounts, and if he thinks there's a future for him, but by all accounts, he was meant to be incredible down at West Brom. I've seen some of his clips, and he's always been capable. I played against him a few times, and he's got kind of real good feet, real direct winger. But if the manager doesn't think he's in his plans, may as well take the money, because you may as well cash in now.
No disrespect to West Bromwich Albion either, but playing well for them is a different thing.
No, the pressure's different.
Adam Ida was hardly pulling up trees at Norwich, was he? And then all of a sudden came up to Celtic and had a very good season. So you never know.
I think for everybody, I like Mikey Johnson, I think for everybody, it would probably be in everyone's best interest if he went to West Brom and got on with his career there, because you can't come back up for another go at Celtic and play this week and not play the next week, then play the next week and not play the next week. And, you know, he's going to find it difficult to oust Dyson Maida on that side.
And then regarding McKenna, look, I think he's a player I know really well. I'm friends with him. He's out of contract, and any international out of contract who's played in the Premiership 50 times, I think there's got to be interest from both sides of the Old Firm. There'll be lots of interest, I'm sure, from other clubs in other countries, but it's about just trying to, if they wanted him, Davey, then they'd try and get him. I don't know what, like, would I sign him for Celtic? Yeah, probably, but I don't know what the manager's looking for.
I don't think it's a daft idea, David. I think he's probably better than some of the players who played left centre back opposite Carter Vickers last season.
Well, thank you to Davey. Time to play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Yes, Beat the Pundit. It will be either Roger Hannah or Stephen O'Donnell. Don't think you played last week, did you? You got away with it, so we'll see if it will be Stephen O'Donnell this time. Give us a call, 01419511025. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Roger Hannah and Stephen O'Donnell here on Clyde One's Super Scoreboard with me, Andrew McLean, ready to play Beat the Pundit, but we want to hear your calls after that as well. 01419511025. Maybe you've got plenty more thoughts ahead of Euro 2024. Not long to go until Scotland play Germany in the Allianz Arena. They're over there in their training base camp at Garmisch-Partenkirchen. So any thoughts on that, give us a call. Or maybe you've still got your mind on domestic matters. Rangers have made a third signing of the transfer window, agreeing a pre-contract deal for Clinton Ensialo. So Rangers fans, maybe you've got some thoughts on that. 01419511025. David Marshall's retired today as well. There's a lot going on at Motherwell and that potential investment. So give us a call, but let's play this first. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Yes, Beat the Pundit. Are you feeling nervous?
Yep.
I could tell in your face you didn't know whether you wanted to lie or not and try and be confident or just admit. And well, just admitted.
I've had experience of Stephen in quizzes. He's fine. A wee quiz school at Motherwell. You know how good Andy Halliday is, 100% record on this through the season. Liam Kelly, he fancies himself.
They do quizzer. Fancy themselves.
Paul McGinn is the same.
Paul McGinn is it?
Yeah.
You're quite self-deprecating, Blair though, so I can imagine that you would play your ability
down. But Blair Spittle would be up there as well, they four, but I'm...
No, he must be out of the group chat. He's away. He's away, Alan. Get him out of the group chat.
Is he away? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's going to be Alan that takes on either Roger Hannah or Stephen O'Donnell. Who do you fancy, Alan?
Stephen.
Jeez, we're confident.
Why Stephen?
Jaffa boy.
Because he loves his Jaffa cakes.
Do you like Jaffa cakes? Have we been set up for a terrible joke here?
I do like Jaffa cakes, but I don't think I mean.
Aye, Stephen, you keep them in the dugout.
Aye, but of course. I wasn't allowed to eat a packet of crisps. I didn't have much of a choice. It was Jaffa cakes or nothing else.
That's a good mate. Is that like an old story that like, or is that just like a rogue piece of information that Alan's aware of?
Alan's just aware of it, yep.
Oh, well, there we go.
Alan's pretty unsettling you for this quiz.
He's got in my head already.
He's been watching old Stephen O'Donnell clips and all of them are just you sitting eating Jaffa cakes on the bench, apparently.
I got caught the other night eating Victoria Sponge. I eat Jaffa cakes. It's my image is getting tainted in Clyde.
What did Lee Griffiths have? Was it Tunnock's tea cake?
That was a Tunnock's tea cake, wasn't it?
Yeah, on the bench.
That was the best bit about Scotland. You used to get, if you were on a bench, you used to get the wee kind of cups filled with wee gummies. And you take one out to the bench. Uh-huh. Mother right. Don't offer that.
Right, Alan, it will be heads for Roger Hannah or tails for Jaffa Cake Boy. And it's tails for... The problem is as well, this is how people get nicknames on this show, because Mark Wilson has been the mushroom for a few years now. So there's a look on Stephen's face that Jaffa Cake Boy might stick, right? We will make sure that Stephen gets some greatest hits radio in his ear and that he can't hear me. Alan, I think it is your first time, so I'll run through the rules. 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can correctly. Remember, you can pass as well if you want to save some time and you're not sure. Does that sound good?
No problem.
Let's do it. Who scored Finland's own goal on Friday?
Pass.
John Spencer is the record signing for which Premiership club?
Raith Rovers.
The Kevin McAllister stand can be found at which club?
Pass.
How many teams will play at Euro 2024?
24.
Name any of the teams in Hibs League Cup group.
Pass. Oh, that was terrible, man. That was terrible.
We'll bring Stephen back in. You feeling all right? You had a bit of time to think about it there.
Yep.
Right, we'll see how Breaking you get up. On. Same for you, Stephen. Let's go. Who scored Finland's own goal on Friday?
Don't have a clue.
John Spencer is the record signing for which Premiership club?
Motherwell.
The Kevin McAllister stand can be found at which club?
Don't know.
How many teams will play at Euro 2024?
26.
Name any of the teams in Hibs League Cup group.
Montrose.
What anniversary do Hearts celebrate this year?
The 150th.
Who missed the decisive penalty in England's shootout against Germany at Euro 96?
I was going to say Saka, but that's not on Euros. Terry Butcher.
Okay, right. Alan gave himself.
You'll kick yourself.
You will kick yourself for this. Alan gave himself a sort of review just before you could hear us again. But I won't tell you either way whether he would give himself a good or bad review. So, first one, who scored Finland's own goal on Friday?
Was it Hoskonen?
Hoskonen, correct. So it is 0-0. Neither of you scored on that one. John Spencer's the record signing of which Premiership club? Alan didn't even go for a Premiership club. He went for Raith Rovers. Just as well you got this one right, because it is Motherwell. So you went 1-0 up there. The Kevin McAllister stand can be found at which club? Neither of you got it.
Falkirk.
Falkirk is correct. How many teams will play at Euro 2024? You'll kick yourself, because it is 24. You said 26. Alan said 24. So he got it correct.
Level.
It's 1-1. Name any of the teams in Hibs League Cup group. That's a tough one, I think.
But Montrose are my group.
Yeah. neither of you got it. You could have gone for Elgin, Peterhead, Queen's Park or Kelty Hearts. Remains 1-1. This was a complete guess from Stephen O'Donnell, wasn't it?
Yep.
Hearts anniversary. What do they celebrate this year? They were formed in 1874, which means they are 150 years old.
Boom.
Stephen goes 2-1 up. Alan didn't get that far, and you got an extra question. Who missed the decisive penalty in England's shootout against Germany at Euro 96?
Gareth Southgate.
I said that on you. A 2-1 win. They all count, Stephen.
Hey, comfortable.
Got a win on the board.
What's it? We'd take that on Friday night.
Alan, I can hear your frustration, Alan.
You took the biscuit, Alan.
Raging. I'm raging, man.
Oh dear. Raging. Unlucky, Alan. It was I was going to say it's a good effort, but you know what? You've phone in again sometime, and you can come up with another nickname for one of the other pundits as well. 2-1 win for Stephen O'Donnell, which means you could finish the season with a 100% record. You could be right up there with the likes of Kenny, Andy, and Roger, which yours is yours still up in the air, debatable.
Have
you
been?
You still get your 100% record?
No.
And Lee Miller as well. Last week he was, he's one for one as well this season. So there we go. 0141 951 1025 on the phone. Should we hear a bit more from John Carver? Because Scotland obviously arrived at their training camp yesterday. It was quite a welcome they got from the locals in Garmisch-Partenkirchen. The mayor was out in all sorts, and John Carver says they were delighted with the welcome they got. However, he says they're now ready to try and upset the hosts.
I wasn't a surprise John was going to get up, eh? But no, it was fantastic. We got here yesterday. We had a wonderful welcome from the mayor. And now we want to make an impact. I think we seen a little bit of the culture last night, which was excellent. And you've already said John McGinn joined in the culture, which was great. And we've had the open day today, and it was fantastic. In awful conditions for all the families and the children to come out and watch training. It was a great turnout, and I hope they were impressed. But we just want to thank them because, you know, it's very, very important you embrace the community. And we've certainly done that. I mean, it's a fantastic environment. We've tried to make it feel as much as we can as home. That's why we brought the weather with us. But if you look at the surroundings, you know, all the branding and making the players feel like, you know, it's our home.
It's all about being professional, because we've got John McGinn and he's there and he's getting involved in the culture. He's doing a wee bit of dancing, and then the players straight into training today, not messing about, very serious. Just having a look at reports that there was a bit of a bust-up in the German training today. A training game, Niklas Füllkrug, the striker, centre-back Antonio Rudiger, the two of them had a bit of a heated altercation that almost came to blows. It's certainly something to look out for.
They were up against each other in a Champions League final just 9 nights ago, weren't they, at Wembley, when Rudiger's Real Madrid beat Füllkrug's Borussia Dortmund. You wonder if it's something that's carried on from that game. Probably not the type of preparation Julian Nagelsmann was looking for 4 days before this game, because Rudiger nailed on to start against Scotland. Füllkrug probably battling Kai Havertz for the sort of centre-forward role in that Germany team. Not the build-up. And it maybe just shows the tensions and anxieties that the host nation feels in the week of a major final.
Yeah, I can imagine that's not the type of thing you'd want to be happening when you're in camp, you're all living together, you're...
Especially an open training session as well. It could be as simple as he just kind of came through the back of him, and he's taking exemption to it because nobody wants to get injured at this stage. So we could be looking into it, but yeah, no, the fact that they played in the Champions League recently together could be a wee bit tasty.
He's quite a unique character, Antonio Rudiger. Yeah. I've seen a lot of videos of him just winding other players up and that type of thing. So it could well be that it's boiled over from that. But looks as if there's a bit of a distraction in the German camp at the moment. So we'll see how that fares. Let's go back to the phones. Dale, how are you feeling in terms of Scotland and what's going to be happening over the next couple of weeks? What's happened in the last few weeks as well?
Yeah, I was at Hampden on Friday night, and obviously you can't take a great deal in it, but I would agree, I heard Stephen say earlier, I was quite disappointed in the atmosphere. It seemed to be quite underwhelming, and I do think we are struggling a bit down the right-hand side. I thought Ralston did his job, but I think it's hard to replace Hickey or Patterson going forward and what they can offer the team. So, and again, I think up front, with a lad from QPR whose name escapes me because I'm on the phone, the striker. Yeah, with Dykes missing, I don't think we have anything like that. And I think in international football these days, there's not many players of that kind of ilk that causes much of it. I mean, imagine Rudiger up against Dykes, you know, there'll be a bit of battle there. And I don't think we have an equivalent. And I think a lot of what Clark has done has been based on that guy being able to hold up the ball and bring in players. I also think, have we seen McTominay play at all? I'm a wee bit worried that we're maybe keeping quiet. He came off in the FA Cup final for Manchester United and we haven't seen him at all in these friendlies. It might be just protecting him, but in the same right, that would be a worry if he's not available. I thought he might have got some minutes against Finland.
We'll go through the points that Dale made. He started with going down the right side. When you lose two players that have played a lot of football for Scotland, and Aaron Hickey and Nathan Patterson, two guys that will know Steve Clarke's system, you know, down to a T, and they know the whole squad. Is it maybe only natural that, you know, if Dale's seeing that it's maybe not as fluid down that side, that when you bring in guys who haven't played a lot of international football, in the case of Ross McCrory, played any international football, that it might just take a bit longer to click, it will naturally look different, Roger?
I think Scotland have tended, and Stephen can correct me if I'm wrong here, tended in recent years to build more, slightly more down the left-hand side. Mm-hmm. They've got that axis with Tierney, Robertson, McGinn, and they've used that a lot. Anyway, you know, regardless whether it was Stephen that played in the right, whether it was Aaron Hickey, whether it was Nathan Patterson, I understand the point. I mean, Hickey and Patterson are two players who have excelled in the English Premier League, and they're no longer in the squad at the minute. I think Anthony Ralston will probably start. I think he's more experienced. He's had more big game experience in internationals and in Europe with Celtic. I think he's in something like 9 or 10 caps now. I didn't think he played badly at all against Finland on Friday night, actually. So I think he'll probably start the game. But it is a situation where he's not had a lot of first-team football this season. He's very much in Alistair Johnson's shadow at Celtic. So I understand Dale's concerns. But listen, you know, if Hickey and Patterson are out and the manager chooses to ignore the man sitting to my right, you know, what can Scotland do?
I think, pretty much to reiterate what you've said, the left side, not necessarily by design, but by personnel, you've got two of the best left backs in the world when they're fit. And to get them in the team, they complement each other in ways. Your right side, especially when I was here, needed to be functional. Didn't need to be glamorous because they were bringing the heat, if you like. We needed to make sure we're doing our job. And Aaron and Nathan, whenever they'd been playing, I think they'd done well, but very similar, because it's just a different support you get from the left side versus the right. And Tony, spot on to what you said. Tony done nothing wrong and put in a couple of great balls. Are any of our, maybe Tierney, are any of our wing backs like people that will go by players 1v1?
Yeah.
Not really. That's not our makeup. Tierney's probably most likely. Robbo can do it. But yeah, like, it's, I think he put in a couple of good balls, defended well, and he get through the game. Not played too many games recently, so it was important for him to get a game under his belt and get a few kicks as well. Got a nasty tackle.
He did, actually, yeah.
And got up, and he'll be raring to go. And he's never let Scotland down. He's played well for Scotland.
You'd have been out your chair when you saw that, haven't
I? I was warming up at the side.
Waving your passport in the air, Steve. I'm here.
And dropped your Jaffa cakes as well.
I dropped my Jaffa cakes. Might have been a pie though.
Scott McTominay, does that concern you? The lack of game time?
No. Listen, he's played an awful lot of football actually for Manchester United. He did get that knock, as Dale says, in the cup final. I think they were just sort of easing him through. There's no need for Scott McTominay to feature against Gibraltar or Finland. He is as important as any individual in that squad. You saw it in qualifying, 7 goals in the 8 games. I mean, you still struggle to remember the days he was playing right centre back, yep, next to you,
yep,
and he's sort of gone right through the midfield, and he's now probably Scotland's biggest goal scoring threat going into this tournament. So I think they're just wrapping him in cotton wool.
Yeah, especially when you look at the goals he scored, the big goals he scored throughout qualifying. Is he a player that Scotland need to be fit and need to be at 100% over these next 3 games?
Look, I think you always want your big players fit, but yeah, with the goals he scored, you probably see him and John McGinn are probably the biggest kind of goal threats for Scotland.
Were due a goal from John McGinn?
Were due a goal from John, and I'm sure he'll deliver. But it's important when you play, if it's the box, the two at the top need to produce assists and goals, because you've only got the one striker who you're trying to get to occupy, whether it's 2 or 3 centre-backs. So look, he's a very important player. He's done well for Man United again this year, and I think he'll be fit. I think they will have just been wrapping him up in cotton wool sensibly, especially with the way some of the boys, like you're thinking, like a Ferguson would be maybe a natural replacement, like for like, getting injured. So it's important that we keep our big players fit, and Scott, I think, will be raring to go.
Well, thank you to Dale. More of your calls next on 01419511025, and we'll set up a teaser for these two as well.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it, watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Stephen O'Donnell here on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, ready to take your calls. Maybe it's Scotland stuff that you still want to be getting on with. 0141 951 1025 or any domestic matters, you can give us a shout as well. But before that, let's set this up.
The full-time teaser with Universal Interiors East Kilbride. Everything's made to measure, so it's never offside.
Yeah, thank you to the Crazy Pony for this one, Stephen. Unfortunately, when you're on with Roger, it means you're guaranteed to get a hard teaser. So we'll see whether Roger has to pull his weight or not, or whether you might, you unbeat the pundit, so you might be helping out here. Can you tell me the 10 goalkeepers with the most appearances in the Scottish top flight since 1997-98, but they must be from a country going to the Euros, and each country can't be represented more than once on the list.
You get through that again, come on.
But yeah, there's quite a lot of info. So 10 goalkeepers, it's on the screen as well, you can see it. Can you tell me the 10 goalkeepers with the most appearances in the Scottish top flight since the 1997-98 season, but they must be from a country going to the Euros, and only one keeper from each country, if you get me.
So one English keeper.
Yeah.
One Polish keeper.
Yeah, that type of thing.
Is there one Polish keeper?
There might be.
Yeah.
Can I start now? Can you start? Boric?
There we go. Arthur Boric.
Good start.
Good start. See a lot of scribbling going from Roger there.
And I mean, did it have to be internationals? You know, the likes of the Scotland, when is the Scotland when they're international goalie? Or is it just a goalie who's played a lot of games?
I mean, he is an international goalie and has played a lot of games as well.
Craig Gordon?
No, not that one.
Alan McGregor?
That one, yes. Oh. So Alan McGregor and Arthur Boric. 370 for Alan McGregor, 160 for Arthur Boric.
And there's only one, so then you're going... So there's going to be 10 different countries here?
Yes, yeah, so you can't have any more Scottish goalkeepers, can't have any more Polish goalkeepers.
Any Swedish keepers?
What about Stefan Kloss?
Stefan Kloss, Germany. Correct.
Tim Henman didn't make many appearances, but he's Swedish.
You say Tim Henman?
Not Tim Henman. Henman, what's the...
They qualify. You know what I mean? Magnus Henman, Sweden.
Magnus, is he not... Have Sweden not qualified?
No, Sweden or that.
Scotland are flying.
No, not Tim Magnus Henman. Segment.
He's good at tennis. Wimbledon.
Right, should we leave that there? You've got three. I'll give you some thinking time.
I told you I'm rubbish at these.
Okay, there we go. So can you name the 10 goalkeepers, not tennis players, with the most appearances in the Scottish top flight since 97-98, but they must be from a country going to the Euros, and only one country each. Right, let's speak to Andy, who is in Stirling. Andy, how are you tonight?
I'm good, thanks. I'm good. I apologise about the noise in advance. I'm at the kids' training session.
That's all right.
Take one of the kids' training sessions. I'm phoning up about Scotland. I don't think Scotland will lose against Germany, and I believe if they can either get 3 points against Switzerland or Hungary, they'll qualify.
What gives you the confidence, first of all, looking at the Germany game, that Scotland aren't going to lose?
I just feel Scotland's a very cohesive unit. I think they're an epitome of the old, they play as a team and they lose as a team and they do everything as a team. And I think it's one of the most together squads we've ever had. That's what I believe. I think they'll fight for each other.
How big is that togetherness at a major tournament when the players are spending so much time with each other, when, you know, if they've got that sort of back catalogue of camps where so many of them have been in camps together, know each other inside out, can that really help?
I think it's crucial, and I think it's part of the plan that the managers had. And will be the only kind of frustration of bringing in these new players is that he maybe doesn't know them in a longer term environment. And I think that's why sometimes when fans or pundits are criticising for bringing somebody that's injured, it's because maybe what they bring to the group, how they are around the place, there's a trust with both parties. They're also going to be good players if you're even in the frame. And but no, I think the togetherness is very good in the Scotland squad, I think. And even with the changes, I think it will be a huge plus. And I do see, look, whether or not it comes to fruition with regards to results against Germany, but I do think it will be a massive bonus. And I don't think there will be many teams in a better position as a squad togetherness.
Because so many teams get through as well, whether Scotland get a result against Germany or not, say if Scotland didn't and maybe did lose by a couple of goals, you know, there are maybe some tournaments where you have a big defeat and you're down and out, but with the way it goes, with 16 of the 24 teams getting through, every game is as vital as the next one. Every point, every goal scored, every goal conceded is so crucial.
Yeah, listen, 3 points might get you through. Mm-hmm. You know, you could win one game against either the Swiss or the Hungarians and you're there, you're into the last 16.
Germans.
I remember, yeah, indeed. Listen, I remember Euro 2016, Northern Ireland and the Republic, I think, maybe get through to the last 16. Wales got all the way to the semi-finals, but I think Northern Ireland and the Republic maybe get through with 3 or 4 points. It can get you through. You think some of the, you know, the great Scotland stories going back to 74, 1974, was mentioned earlier on the show. Scotland unbeaten in a group that included Brazil and didn't get through because only the top two get through. The same at Argentina 78, the same so many times, right through to Euro 96, third in a group, beat the Swiss, and it wasn't enough because only two went through. This time, the likelihood is third will get you through. And listen, here's hoping.
Was it Euro 2016? Portugal won it, and I think throughout the whole tournament only won one game in 90 minutes. Okay, didn't win a single group game, drew all three of them.
They beat Wales in the semi-final. That was the only time they won a game in 90 minutes in the entire tournament, including the final itself. And they got through, as you say, simply because of 3 points in the group. They were third with three draws. I think maybe 3-1 down in one of the games against Hungary back then, I think, managed to get themselves out the group and never looked back.
Andy, what needs to go right for Scotland then? If just still doing a bit of coaching, that's all right. Don't mind it. What needs to go right for Scotland then? If you're the coach on Friday night, not just tonight, what needs to go right for Scotland to get that result against Germany?
I think the middle of the park's crucial. I think McTominay's a big one for Scotland. Billy Gilmour is an amazing footballer. What I would like him to do is these things just a wee bit more simple sometimes, and not try and be as cute, because if you get caught there's no reprieve. I think he's a fabulous footballer, but I think we really need to, if the midfield, I think, is crucial for Scotland.
I always thought Billy Gilmour was one of these players that always did quite the simple things well, doesn't he?
Yeah, no, he just manipulates the ball really well, keeps it simple, has a nice eye for a pass forward as well, but kind of more like a metronome, kind of just keeps it ticking along. He's an exceptional player.
Would you expect it to be that sort of box midfield four that Steve Clarke has been utilising, you know, over the course of the qualification campaign that was successful, of Gilmour, McGregor, McGinn and McTominay? Could you see him deviating from that?
I think I dropped Billy the other night. So I'd probably go back on myself, because I probably just got that one wrong. I thought Christie's had a great season and has been very good for Scotland as well over the piece. But on the games earlier, he wasn't playing, so possibly misses out. But I think even Christie's been playing deeper for Bournemouth. So there's a whole host of kind of decisions. But yeah, I think certainly the five, that's my only... I'm not quite convinced in what the four will be out of the five. It'll be Christie, McGinn, McGregor, McTominay and Gilmour.
Is the beauty of a lot of those options is that they are versatile. They can play more attacking roles. They can play more defensive roles. So they can either shift in-game.
Yep,
they
can cover for each other. You can switch to diamond. You can switch to, the host of things. Christie can kind of play as a front two. No, there's options. I think that's what the manager's worked well. He's found a shape that works well with the five behind it. And he can kind of change that one in front depending on the game, the personnel, who you're thinking.
And it's three high tempo, high octane games inside 9 days. I think he'll utilise the squad. I think Christie might start on the bench on Friday against the Germans, but I think you'll see him. If Che Adams starts, which I think he will, I think you'll probably still see Shanklin at some stage in the game. How many times has the manager sent on Kenny McLean in the last quarter of games over the years? I think you'll see him at some stage as well. And he's got options. You know, if Armstrong's fit, Forrest's in the squad now and was on fire at the end of the season. Lewis Morgan was an interesting call-up as well. So it's a squad where we probably all agree what the starting 11 will be. But I think the manager will utilise that bench.
How vital is that rotation when you look at there being three games in such a short space of time? But not only that, just the timing of it. Players are coming, a lot of the players are coming off a full season of football. Some have played 50-odd games to then go and play three games in a week, essentially. You know, at a major tournament, at a high level against, you know, high tempo oppositions, how important is it? I suppose the having more substitutes helps as well.
Look, I think if results aren't terrible, I think the back six will stay probably pretty similar unless there's injuries. And then you bring that kind of the five ahead of that could change. There's one or two you think will play most games, but he does have a squad. I think what you can see with the selection of the squad, if things are going wrong, I think he wants to change to a four. We try and bring on kind of wingers, a wee bit more direct, maybe somebody that can can get at a player more naturally, like Lewis Morgans. He had Doak in the original squad. James Forrest, obviously, who's done it for years. So it's kind of, I'm interested to see how it goes. But look, I think the games, so many games in such a short space of time, the travelling as well, the different, just the excitement, the nerves kind of maybe taking a wee bit out of the legs. The squad will be needed. And it'll just be interesting to see who is in that starting 11 and if they're trusted for the rest of the tournament if things are going well.
There have been those later call-ups in the attacking areas, Andy. You look at Lewis Morgan, you look at Tommy Conway. Can you see one, both of them making an impact if needed over the next three games?
Do you know, I've always liked Lewis Morgan as a footballer. He never quite cut it at Celtic, but I've always liked him as a footballer. But I've got a strong, me being a Stirling guy, I think I'd really love to see Tommy Conway make an impact.
I mean, it will be a dream scenario for Tommy Conway, having not made the initial squad. Yeah. He probably thought his chance was gone, but to all of a sudden now not only be in the squad, but having made his debut, now being in and around it, being able to show the staff what he can do.
And it was almost a sparkling debut, that header. I don't still not quite sure how Sinny Salo managed to keep it out, but it's been a meteoric rise for Tommy Conway. We'll obviously focus on the absence of Lyndon Dykes late on, and the manager spoken about the absence of Jacob Brown from Luton. But if you think, you know, Kevin Nisbet, who went to the last Euros and played all three games off the bench, he's not been fit. Ross Stewart hasn't been fit either. So there were a lot of striking options denied to Steve Clarke this time. He's gone for Tommy Conway, who's had a very good season at Bristol City. I know he's impressed Scott Gemmell with the 21s. He impressed me. I thought he did well in a wee cameo at Hampden on Friday night. And he looks a good sort to have about the place. We spoke of the importance of having, you know, guys in reserve who have the right attitude. That lad will have the right attitude.
I think that's a real positive to him coming straight from the 21s, is that they'll know him. So they'll know what he's like around the place. There'll be contact that will maybe give the manager added confidence in the selection. And then the manager talked about it being a very different option to Lyndon Dykes. Dykes more physical. He's maybe got a wee bit more pace. So again, if we're needing a goal or if we go ahead in the game and teams start to attack you, you maybe get him in behind for the pace, it'd be a nice compliment.
Thank you to Andy. Let's get back to this full-time teaser. Can you tell me the 10 goalkeepers with the most appearances in the Scottish top flight, since the 97-98 season, but they must be from a country going to the Euros and only one from each of those 10 countries, please? You've gone for Alan McGregor, which was correct. Stefan Kloss and Artur Boric, also correct.
Joe Lewis, England.
Very good shout. Yes,
that's a great one. Very well done. What about Javier Sanchez Broto from Spain?
No.
Another one. Not many appearances, but enough maybe. Bachmann, Austrian.
No, Daniel Bachmann. He's not on the list.
Oh, so that means there's an Austrian who's. That's a good. Benji Sigrist from Switzerland.
Benji Sigrist, correct. 70. None of them. In the last wee while.
I'm just thinking of our group. What about Adam Bogdan, Hungary and Hibs?
No. I will give you more thinking time, though, while I tell you about this, because, of course, Roger and Stephen Mill are getting ready for Germany with a new podcast, Euro Stories, with the Scottish Sun. They've been speaking to Scotland players who have played at previous tournaments, 92, 96, 2020 as well. You can catch up with the episodes that featured Stephen O'Donnell, Declan Gallagher and Stuart McCall reflecting on the tournaments they were involved in. The latest episode dropped on our YouTube channel and on all podcasting platforms today, and it features former striker Kevin Gallagher. He spoke about the knowledge that Steve Clarke has as a coach.
And his knowledge was phenomenal, and I found that out after he retired and he became a football coach, you know. And I went to Newcastle at the end of my career, and we played Sheffield United, and I got man-marked. I'd never been man-marked in my whole career, and I couldn't shake him off. And I came in at half-time, and Clarke pulled me, and he just went, why don't you go and stand still in the left wing for 5 minutes and see what he does then? And that little teeny tiny bit of information just helped me. Within 5 minutes, I scored a goal. So the knowledge he had and what he could see in football, you know, and the aftermath of it was phenomenal. So I knew then that he could go on to become a great coach.
It's Scotland's Euro Stories with the Scottish Sun. Get it where you get your podcasts or on Clyde One Super Scoreboard's YouTube channel. head to Clyde1.com now for the chance to win a state-of-the-art projector and a barbecue so you can enjoy the games in style this summer. Remember, stay ahead of the game of the Scottish Sun Sport at thescottishsun.co.uk.
Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Stephen O'Donnell and Roger Hannah have been thinking hard about this teaser. Can you tell me the 10 goalkeepers with the most appearances in the Scottish top flight since the 97-98 season? But they must be from a country going to the Euros, and each country can only be represented once in the list. Like Alan McGregor, Scotland, of course, Joe Lewis, England, Stefan Kloss, Germany, Artur Boric, Poland, and Benjamin Siegrist, Switzerland. So you're halfway there. You've got 5 of 10.
We've maybe got a sixth, we think. It was a real joint effort, this one, and it's Macalambi, Belgium, no?
You've put your heads together, and it was a waste of time.
Oh, come on.
What about Thomas Czerny?
Thomas Czerny, there we go. Ah, that is nice. A good shout. Of course, played for Hamilton. A few other clubs later on in his career.
Aberdeen.
Czech Republic, Aberdeen. Was it Hibs? Was he for Partick a wee bit
Thistle.
As well? Partick Thistle, yep.
I'm going right back now. Stephen said, oh, back in my era, 98.
I thought it was going to be wrong position if you were going right back.
What about Dragoje Lekovic, Kelly? Cup winner with Kelly, no?
I've never even heard them.
And we wondered, what about Ludovic Roy?
No, but I would think about that as one of the countries, certainly.
Gilles Roussy.
There we go. Former Hearts goalkeeper, Gilles Roussy.
When was he?
He won the cup in 98 when Hearts beat Rangers.
There we are. So I think you've got, what's that, three to go now? So that's plenty to be getting on with. You can have a think of that.
Is there any that I'll know? Is there any with after 22?
Let's have a look. I 2020. There's a chance, I think. You'll know some of the names.
A Rangers keeper in there?
There is no.
No.
There's not a Rangers keeper in there.
Right, okay. That's a couple down.
Right. We'll let you get on with that. Speaking of Rangers, they did make a signing, announced a pre-contract signing today. 20-year-old Clinton Nsiala from AC Milan. Not a player that I think many people will be familiar with because he's not made a top team appearance for AC Milan yet. His contract's running out at the start of July. That's when Rangers are going to sign him. So it'll be interesting to see what type of signing this is, whether it is a player that is expected to come in and make an impact, you know, straight away, or whether it is more of a signing for the future.
Someone I spoke to earlier on compared them, not really in style of play, but just in type of signing, from the Calvin Bassey signing. You know, a player who came out of contract at a club in a big league, hadn't really played much, a left-sided centre-back. I'm not sure he would have arrived if Rangers could get a deal for Cordoba over the line. He obviously went to Norwich instead, but I always try and read between lines in moments like this, and it was noticeable the quotes in the Rangers statement tonight came from Niels Koppen, head of recruitment at the club. I would imagine Nsiala is one that he has had on a list of left-sided centre-backs. There's no real cash outlays. You know, it's a pre-contract deal for the lad to come in. But given the way Rangers, you know, finished the season defensively, Goldson was out the team initially through selection, then through injury. John Souter was out the team through injury. There is a new deal signed by Leon Balogun, but at 35, I'm not sure he'll play every week. Ben Davis is obviously still there. Leon King's obviously still there. But I would imagine if Rangers are signing a French youth international, as I think he is, from AC Milan, I would imagine they would be eyeing him to be in the team.
So do you think that was sort of interchangeable really with the Cordoba deal? Because there was meant to be a fee attached to that. He is a full international player. He's a couple of years older.
You think
he wouldn't have signed if Cordoba?
No, I think you're looking down a list, and Cordoba was maybe one above Nsiala in the list. Didn't get Cordoba over the line, so they moved to Nsiala and take him. You can see the model that they're now looking at. You know, Oscar Cortez, another young player, has been signed again on a loan with an obligation to buy this time. Diomande came in January, a very similar deal. It's a younger demographic, if you like, of players, and there are guys who I think they just will hope will shine for a year or two, a bit like Calvin Bassey, and they can then sell them on, you know, that transfer model I've spoken about for a long time, sell them on at a profit.
Is that an area you expected Rangers to strengthen in? Because they started off, you know, defensively very well under Philip Clement, and then the last couple of months of the season, you know, conceded a lot more goals than they had previously. There are options there. I suppose it's just whether their options, Philip Clement, are good enough.
The fact that Souter's played left centre back the majority of the season since Clement's come in would tell me that he's probably not having the left sided centre backs, and most managers would like a left footed centre back playing there. I think Souter done really well, by the way, but maybe would they rather have him in the right? It's his natural position, and for how good he can be in the left, I'd imagine even better on the right for Rangers. I think both Celtic, Rangers, every club really, they look to strengthen. If opportunities come up, they miss out on players. They want to get a squad together, and at 19, no outlay financially for a fee. You're maybe paying him some all right money, and you're getting maximum return if he sells. So I think it's probably quite a clever business move.
It is. It's another sign of just how different the, you know, Rangers recruitment is looking since Niels Coppin came in. Yeah. They're shopping in, you know, very different markets, you would say, than they have done previously. And the signings of, you know, Oscar Cortez, Jeff Day, Mohamed Diamandé are all, you know, it's a very clear sort of model of what they're doing, the age profile that they're trying to bring in, and, you know, looking in places that they weren't previously.
Yeah, and listen, Celtic have had success looking at other markets, you know, the Japanese market when Ange Postecoglou first came in, they've had a look at the Korean market as well. I think the Old Firm, in this day and age when English clubs, even English Championship clubs, can pay so much more money, you know, they tend to have to look further afield to get these little nuggets that they hope they can polish up and sell on, you know.
And the player will want to go, well, Celtic Rangers are a good market for me, maybe the Champions League, winning things, it's an experience. So there is a selling point there for the player, but yeah, I think it's certainly a market they need to be touching. My only thing for Rangers is that when you're bringing in younger players, they're normally a wee bit unknown or inconsistent. Rangers are obviously looking to win a title and stop Celtic's dominance at the moment, and that's, is 19-year-olds going to be the answer to that? I don't know.
You know, Bassey coming at the same age with the same lack of first team experience and ended up playing in a European final.
Yeah.
01419511025. Maybe a bit tight for calls tonight, but you can certainly give us a call. We'll be back tomorrow night and throughout the whole week as well, live from Germany later on in the week as well, which will be good. I'll tell you what, one thing, you mentioned it earlier on, you made a wee pun about Daz being light years ahead. Have you seen this photo? Someone has found, and I think it doesn't really work on radio, but it will work on the live stream. I think we have it ready to go, that someone has tweeted a picture of a Buzz Lightyear figure that they found that is like ridiculously close to what Gordon DL looks like.
It's fantastic.
It's amazing, isn't it?
I was sent it last night. I've not been able to stop laughing all day. It's absolutely magnificent.
He is a man of many lookalikes.
To insanity and beyond.
We get plenty of tweets about people that look like Gordon DL. It's mainly actors from Neighbours and that type of thing. Buzz Lightyear, I'll tell you what, I don't think I've seen the film, so I don't quite...
Oh, it's a good film. You need to watch the film.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Because I was thinking, that doesn't look like the Buzz Lightyear I know.
It's not the best, but it's a modern one.
But yeah, it's got the white hair. It's not quite as tanned as Gordon DL is at the moment.
No, particularly at the moment. At the moment, just back from holiday.
He's probably lucky that Germany looks as if it's going to be raining, because if it was, you know, 25 degrees over there.
Let me tell you, he's currently light mahogany in the Dulux colour chart.
Just a mention as well for David Marshall announcing his retirement today, a player who's had a stellar career both at club level and international level.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think outstanding career, massive impact in Scotland when he came in, because he hadn't been involved until Steve Clarke for a wee while. So it was great, loved, had shared many a good night with him, and I think I was the one trying to manoeuvre him in the conga that night in Serbia. So no, David Marsh has a great career and happy retirement to him.
Right, we need to quickly finish off this teaser. Can you tell me the 10 goalkeepers with the most appearances in the Scottish top flight since the 97-98 season? They must be from a country going to the Euros. Only one country each, please.
Cup winning Dundee United goalie Dusan Pernas?
No. You have three to get.
What about Peter Kjær at Aberdeen?
No.
Denmark, no.
I'm going to have to start giving you some countries, right. I think.
Okay, okay.
Austria.
Well, we thought back.
I know.
Netherlands and Slovakia.
Slovakia, that lad at Dundee United. Have I made that up?
Latke? Is it that?
Hearts, St Mirren.
Or Bobby's Lamal.
No.
Hutchinson Mirren. It was
initials MK.
Kello.
Yes, Marion Kello, Netherlands, former Dunfermline goalkeeper.
I'm as well taking the headphones off.
Come on.
What does Gordon DL also get made fun of for?
His enormous nose.
Not quite nose, a more casual term for it. A bird has it as well.
Beak. Beck.
Oh, Van de Beek.
No. Beek is the final syllable from the Netherlands.
Oh, the Marco Ruttenbeek.
Marco Ruttenbeek. And finally, from Austria, former Falkirk goalkeeper.
A former Falkirk goalie.
Gonna have to say it, Bobby Aleznik. We're back tomorrow night.